Bears fans, my name is Harrison Barzik from Chicago Sports Nation. I'm here with Bobby Skinner from Simple Man Radio. He's a Giants fan and a blogger for them. Glad to have you on the show, Bobby. Welcome.
Yeah, man, definitely. I love, you know, I'm not a Bears fan, but I do like to listen to you and Josh and the other guys, so I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. Glad to have you here. I know this is obviously not the best year for you guys. It's been a rough time for you, something we've been pretty used to here in Chicago. So I want to start off with kind of some easy ones here. You're losing a lot of close games, something, again, we're familiar with here in Chicago, and I see six of your eight losses are by one score or less. You have a veteran quarterback in Eli. He's new to you, but a veteran head coach in Pat Shurmur. Why are you losing these close ones here? I feel like an experienced team such as what you guys have should be doing a little better with this.
Man, we're just inconsistent up front. I mean, in a couple of the games like Carolina, they hit a 63-yarder, but our defense has given up some chunk plays. And basically, you know, I mean, Eli's given me two Super Bowls. I'm happy with him, but he's not what he was before. And the offensive line, you know, they've been better the past couple games, but they struggled. But, I mean, against Philly last week, Saquon had like 150 yards in the first half, and then he only got five touches in the second half, which is wild. I mean, I don't believe this, but it was so wild that there's conspiracy theories that our GM told Pat Shurmur to cool it because we're going to try and tank for a draft pick, which is ridiculous. But it's, you know, for that conspiracy theory to come out, you know, something's going wrong.
I was actually going to ask you about that exact same thing. I heard the same thing.
Yeah, I don't put any weight in it. You know, there's maybe before the game, we're like, okay, let's take some measures to get a better draft pick. But there's no way Gettleman's calling at halftime and telling Shurmur to, you know, pump their brakes a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be a little much. So, like you said, your team's been improving pretty recently. The last three games, averaging almost 30 points a game. Now, it's admittedly against some bad defenses like the 49ers and Bucks, and they're pretty depleted Eagles. But do you think your team's turning it around right now and are on an upward trajectory, or is this already a lost season?
I wouldn't call it turning it around. I mean, it's definitely a lost season. I wouldn't say call it turning around either, but it does look better. I mean, last year and like almost all the year before, we didn't score 30 points one time. And we just look, you know, even the year we went to the playoffs, you know, our offense looked stagnant. And, you know, they're starting to get Odell more involved. But Saquon's been huge because he gives us a running back who doesn't need a great offensive line to make plays. Yeah. And, I mean, the guy might, you know, end up leading the league in receptions. You know, we've checked it down to him so many times. But, yeah, I definitely think it's an upward trajectory. Now, it all matters on the quarterback play going forward. Because, you know, most people don't expect Eli coming back next year, even though he does have 1 year left on his contract. But, yeah, I mean, I'm always pretty positive. So, you know, with, you know, playmakers like Odell and Saquon and you know, a kind of a depleted defense, I'm definitely looking forward to next year and trying to get this year over with, you know.
Yeah, I feel that's a common sentiment in Chicago, especially recently. Although it's turned around for us here. Now, before I touch on Saquon and Odell and all your stars out there, do you think this is Eli's last season in New York? And if so, do you think you want to go to the draft or maybe bring in a free agent? How do you think that's going to go for him?
It's hard to say because I don't think we're going to end up in the top pick. And everyone thinks that kid from Oregon, Herbert's going to go first.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be able to get him unless we trade it up. And the Giants have never really been a trade up kind of team. But there's so many free agents or trade possibilities. You know, we've heard about every single name. We've heard Derek Carr, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater. So I could see them doing that. But at the same time, it all depends on what Eli wants to do because he is under contract. So he would really have to retire. But if they, you know, I could see them drafting a QB and saying, hey, we're going to let you sit behind Eli for a few weeks and, you know, see how it goes, you know, which so many rookie QBs they say is going to happen. But yeah, there's not a QB in this draft that I love. So, you know, the selfish person in me wants to wait until the next year and get Tua or Brom from Georgia. That yeah. being said, that's a risky chance to take because you never know where you're going to end up in the draft 2 years from now, let alone, you know, 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, well, I thought you guys blew it with Saquon Barkley, I'll admit. Even though he's clearly generational talent, I figured the New York Giants would never be bad enough to be picking the top three again. Although, no offense, it looks like you're heading that direction right now. But with Saquon Barkley, you have an absolute animal. I mean, he's third in the league in yards from scrimmage, fourth in rushing yards. And despite his lack of touches, he just makes explosive plays everywhere he goes. Now, in the games, he does have a lot of touches. I see he has four games with over 18 touches, and in three of those games, you won. So why isn't he getting the ball more often? Is it because your O-line's a little crummy right now, or is just the game plan different, or what needs to happen to get him the ball more?
Well, I think with the offensive line problems, that's why we should give it to him more. That's a question that every Giants fan asks, is why we're not giving Saquon the ball more. I mean, you know, if you're going to draft a running back that high, you kind of want to pound him into the ground and get every single ounce out of him. That being said, yeah. Maybe they're saving for next year, or, you know, maybe, you know, not at halftime, but there is some meetings between Gettleman and Sherman. Like, you know, let's not pound this guy's, you know, rookie year into the ground, you know, to get, you know, one or two more wins. And it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of play calling has been skeptical. I mean, I'm not out on Pat Shurmur. I like to give guys chances. But, yeah, play calling has been very conservative in the passing game where, you know, it may not always show up in the carries, and it's dialed down a little bit, but we were giving him so many checkdowns. I mean, I think against Dallas he had like 15 or 16 catches. So those are kind of like mini runs in itself. So it's hard to say why we're not doing that, especially with Eli's struggle in the offensive line and not being able to get the ball out quick. So there's not really a great answer to why not. And that's, you know, a question a lot of Giants fans have been asking.
Yeah, as a fantasy owner of Saquon Barkley, he is almost single-handedly carried my team into the playoffs here. So I'm a big fan of checkdowns, especially in PPR format. So keep on doing that, getting the ball as much as possible for me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've heard the same thing, man. He's getting people good stats just on his catches alone, if you don't even get the yards.
Yeah, similar with us and Tariq Cohen. We have such a dynamic guy. It's almost hard to get in the ball as much as we want to because teams are so keyed in on that. I think the Bears are going to be pretty keyed on him and Odell. If we take Saquon out of the game, I mean, that's tough with a guy that good. But if we focus a lot on him, do you think Eli can beat us himself at this point, or is it a little late in his career for that?
No. The offensive line has played better. Nate Solder was really bad in the beginning of the year. And I played left tackle in college, and there's a big difference when you're used to a Brady guy who's doing three-step drops and five-step drops and getting the ball out of there quick to Pat Shurmur's offense where you're doing seven-step drops and you know, doing checkdowns that aren't really designed to Saquon. And Nate Solder really struggled with that. Willie Hernandez is a guy that I like. He's, you know, he was a rookie and struggled. And we, you know, got, you know, we have Flowers, who was a top 10 pick, and Omeme. And we completely released both those two guys, had a center injury. So against you guys with that great defense up front with Hicks and Khalil Mack, I think this is one of those games where your guys' defense is going to make us look horrible. I hate to say it, but I'm not going to predict a Giants loss, but because I do think they will get Saquon involved. But Eli doing himself, no way. You know, and Eli's not somebody at this point of his career where he's going to take hits and throw the ball downfield while he's getting slammed. He's, you know, it's pretty clear that he's made a business decision that he's not going to get beat up this year. So yeah. I think you guys are really going to try and attack that. So, no, as far as Eli doing it by himself, I definitely don't see that happening.
Okay, so like you said, your O-line's playing a little better. Nate Solder's definitely getting used to Eli, and you touched on Will Hernandez, the guy I personally love come out of the draft. I think he's just a mean, nasty interior guy. And you said you released your other two guys in the starting line. I'm a Miami Hurricane right now, so when you talk crap about Ereck Flowers, I'll take it a little personally. But anyways,
I'm a Miami guy too, man. But he has been awful. Not even just like getting like beat up physically; he's just mental. And I saw something funny since the Jags signed Ereck Flowers. I think they're 0-7. So listen, I'm a Miami guy. We lost out on Max Johnson today, so it's been a rough day. But man, Ereck Flowers has been pretty damn horrible for us.
Yeah. I didn't think your new guys have been playing. I know you obviously brought in some new guys to start. Definitely not big names per se, but I think they've been playing pretty well. Are they getting better as time goes on, or is it just hopeless until you get some new guys next year?
We actually got this guy, Jamon Brown, at right guard. We picked him off waivers on our bye week. He's actually played really great. Like very, you know, it's hard for an offensive lineman to be very noticeable. And he's looked really well for us. So it seems like he's the guy that's going to come back and start at right guard. And then, like you said, Willie Hernandez. I love him too. He's a big, mean mauler. He's going to get a lot better in his second year. And Solder, you know, with that contract, we have to keep him. So center and right tackle will be iffy, even though Chad Wheeler hasn't been too bad. But I definitely think in the draft next year, they're definitely going to do maybe something like the Colts did last year, where they're going to draft up front on both sides of the ball.
Okay. I like that idea. Definitely seems to be panning out for them. Let's move to the outside now and talk about your running game and your interior linemen. On the outside, you have one of the best receivers in the game, Odell Beckham Jr., who's already over 1,000 yards, is on pace for another heck of a season. Do you think he's enough to carry your offense in a game like this, or do you think you're going to have to rely on some of the other smaller guys like Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram?
Well, I mean, Odell, yeah. I think, you know, you guys have a great defense, good safeties. I'd say your corners would be your weakest spot on a great defense. As far, you know, I'm not a believer in one person carrying, but if somebody could do it on the outside, it'd definitely be Odell. You know, you never know when he can, you know, have 180 yards and two or three touchdowns.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, we've seen it time and time again. So, as far, you know, I could see him, you know, just dominating the game offensively and not really needing a whole lot out of Shepard. If it's, you know, because you guys don't have Mitch starting. So, if it's, you know,
say exactly.
It's a low scoring, you know, 20 to 17 game, I definitely could see us pulling out with a couple big plays from Odell. You know, he's been known to take a slant and turn it into 80 yards. So, yeah, definitely. I can see Odell being, you know, a game changer and the reason why the Giants could win.
Yeah, our defense has definitely had some trouble tackling. And a lot of these big plays we have up this year have been, like you said, on those short slants that just are a speedy guy and they take it all the way to the house. It happened against the Dolphins. It's happened with the Lions a couple times. So it's pretty dangerous with us. And that's one thing I'm definitely scared of is Odell out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, because you guys do have that really, you guys are really good up front. To see, you know, if the Giants, I think for the Giants to do anything well offensively, it's definitely going to have to get, you know, feeding the ball to Saquon and then getting, you know, little quick, you know, quick short routes, you know, ends and slants and outs and whatnot and, you know, and taking the big play when it's there.
Yeah, I mean, Odell was saying on a press conference earlier today that he didn't have to beat his defensive back, he needs to beat the defensive lineman. So if he doesn't get those quick plays, get the ball up before the pressure can get to Eli Manning, before Khalil Mack be breathing down his neck, I think it'll bode well for you guys coming up.
Yeah, I definitely hope so, man.
So I touched on Evan Engram a little bit earlier, and he had a great year last year as a rookie, but he's kind of disappearing this year. I know he hasn't played in all his games, but he's still well under 300 yards in the season. And Pat Shurmur has shown he likes to use tight ends a good amount in his past 2 years in Minnesota. Kyle Rudolph averaged almost 700 yards a season. So what's really the reason for Evan Engram not getting involved so much this year? He's showing he can make these plays, but is it play calling? Is it him underperforming? Why has he not stood out so far?
Well, it's one, he just can't really block well. And I tried to, you know, pretend he could block, but he's not a good blocker in the run game. So they've actually been using our backup, Ellison, quite a bit, who, you know, played with Shurmur in Minnesota, actually. But, it seems like, you know, with Odell and Shepard on the outside that he'd be getting a lot more touches. And I don't know if they're just not designing plays for him or what. You know, he does have drop problems. There was a game, I can't remember which game it was, maybe Atlanta or San Fran, where he just had a bunch of drops. But he has had some big plays here and there against Tampa. But I've actually seen the idea float around. In fact, Dan Duggan, somebody who we had on our show last week, he asked Pat Shurmur if they thought about moving Evan Engram to wide receiver full time. And Pat Shurmur said, you know, we're definitely going to move him, and we're going to use him in a lot of places. But as far as, you know, title, he is a tight end. But, you know, that's something I wouldn't be opposed to, seeing how it would work, because right now with a first-round pick, a tight end with that speed, you would definitely expect a lot more production out of them, especially with all the attention Odell and Saquon get.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I want to flip it to the other side of the ball. I know our rushing offense has definitely struggled this year, especially compared to the last couple of years where we've had Jordan Howard hitting 1,000 yards. It's not looking like he'll get there this year, but your run defense, you just traded away one of your best players in Snacks Harrison, so I want to know how losing him has hurt your rush defense, and if any other guys have been stepping up in his absence.
No. Our defense has been pretty bad. I mean, the Eagles had some big plays running against us, and, you know, they have nobody at running back. Olivier Vernon, who has a big contract, he's been, you know, absolutely horrible for us. When he is in, he doesn't play very well. And like you said, we got rid of Snacks in the middle, and that's a huge loss. And our middle linebacker play has just been, you know, pretty abysmal. And, you know, young guys coming up like Tay Davis, who is an undrafted free agent, looking decent, but he's more of a pass defender. And, you know, we're weak on the outside, so it's hard for us to bring a lot of people in the box because, you know, Janoris Jenkins, who's another big-name signing, has played bad. And, you know, we got rid of Eli Apple and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. So we just have looked bad defensively all around and stopping the run and stopping the – I mean, we've just been bad all around on defense. And the guys – the few guys who were supposed to be those playmakers and make plays haven't been doing it, like, you know, say an Alec Ogletree and Landon Collins, who's been used more as a rover under this new defense. It doesn't seem to fit him well, and it'll be interesting what the Giants decide to do with him, you know, in this upcoming free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you said like these big names you guys have not been performing very well. Landon Collins, an all-pro, Janoris Jenkins, big contract, same with Olivia Vernon. Has there been any one thing you noticed your team is susceptible to, or one thing people are attacking with you guys, or just kind of bad across the board? Because I know we're used to that not recently, but the last 5 years, we've had some pretty crummy defenses in Chicago. It's nice to see it change around here.
We've given up a lot of big plays. I mean, you know, when Tampa got, you know, put Jameson, he was hitting deep plays with Mike Evans. You know, every team seems to have those big plays. I think Janoris Jenkins has given up like 9 touchdowns this year. Wow. And somebody being, you know, somebody, an undrafted free agent shouldn't do that, let alone someone who's getting paid, you know, over $10 million a year to, you know, to be that shutdown corner.
Definitely.
And with Landon Collins, they play him up at the line so much, it's hard for him to be back there in coverage. And our other safety, Curtis Riley, has just been really bad. And, you know, and when you get rid of a guy like Eli Apple and Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, it puts a lot of pressure on Janoris Jenkins to be shut down. He's not. So our pass game has just been really bad. And let alone that we can't get to the pass rusher with guys like Olivier Vernon. And our, you know, our other defensive ends seem to be more of run stoppers. So, yeah, I mean, it's been all around bad. But as far our guys on the outside really haven't got the job done this year. This is rough, man. I keep on having to talk about the Giants, and we're just so bad this year. And I'm just sitting here having to just talk down on them. But you know what? Next year's going to be better. But no, keep going.
Don't worry. I almost feel bad for myself bringing up how bad the Bears have been recently because we're on such a good streak. It's so rare for me to be able to talk about the Bears in a good light. It's so much easier doing this reporting and tweeting and podcasts when you have a winning team, and I know it's a lot harder when your team's struggling.
Yeah. But, you know, we still have fun, and I'll always be the overly optimistic fan. So, no, we can keep going.
So, back to your defense real quickly. We obviously probably are going to have our backup quarterback in with Chase Daniel. Trubisky's going to be out for this game again with that shoulder injury. And with the backup, he doesn't really understand all the nuances of the game, doesn't have the game experience, and can get fooled into some things. So do you have anybody in your defense that could be lurking, that could make a big play that can change the game, or are you just that bad? It's not going to happen.
I wouldn't say one player, but, you know, you guys have good wide receivers, but, you know, Allen Robinson's played well. Anthony Miller's played well, but I don't think you guys have that one guy who is like a Odell or a Mike Evans or some of the other top guys. And we have a defense that blitzes a lot. I see, you know, a lot of, you know, cover one highs and, you know, cover two man and just coming at the QB and making Chase Daniels make tough decisions. So I think that would be our best bet against Chase. And Chase is kind of conservative. So, you know, keeping everything in front of us. And then, you know, being able to get to him and get sacks, you know, by blitzing, because just rushing four for us hasn't really got the job done.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Your pass rush has certainly been lacking. That was a big thing for us before this year. Without Khalil Mack, we were having the same question. So going forward, postseason, do you think there's any people you could bring in, whether it's a trade or a free agency or draft, or what do you think the solutions are to these problems?
I definitely think we're going to go heavy draft. Because, you know, that just seems the way that Gettleman is. That being said, if we have, you know, I assume we're going to try and move Vernon and Jenkins, so that's a lot of money. And if Eli retires, we're going to have a lot of money in free agency.
Definitely.
That being said, I really haven't looked at the free agent market of who's going to be out there, you know, besides Le'Veon Bell, who we're obviously not going to get. But I definitely see us going heavy in draft, and I can even see us trading down in the draft because there is so many holes. But if offensive line is going to have to be the key. But it's going to be scary to pay offensive lineman a lot of money for agency with just what we saw with Nate Solder, who hasn't been anything special. And, you know, I was glad we paid him because we're desperate. But that being said, him at the time in New England, he was average at best. You know, he was never, you know, the best left tackle in football, which is what he's being paid like. So
does he have the highest contract in football for offensive lineman?
Yeah. Yep. The highest contract. We went after the guy, Andrew Norwell, the guard from the Panthers, who signed with the Jags.
That's right.
But he signed with the Jags pretty quick, and then so we had to make a move quick and sign Nate Solder. So hopefully he can get better. But yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer, and you know, it's no secret that football, it all starts up front with the offensive line and the defensive line. So we just got to address the offensive line, whether that's, you know, drafting somebody in the first round, which is always scary because we see so many times, you know, offensive linemen draft in the first round don't pan out, even guys that were picked first overall. So, offensive and defensive line is going to be the key to this offseason because we have the weapon, you know, we have the playmakers on offense, you know, so, besides, you know, there's really no need on offense besides the quarterback, which will be addressed in the offseason. And then defensively, there's just so many holes on every level. Although I do like some of the younger linebackers, but, you know, it's defensive line and then our corners.
Yeah. So you're coming from some of that. So now that we've kind of gotten the broad picture of how your team's looking, I want to move to some bold predictions here. Saquon Barkley, do you think he's going to have over or under 100 rushing yards in this game?
I'm going to go over because I don't think we're going to, you know, try and outpass you guys because of your guys' defensive line and Eli's struggles this year. So I see Saquon getting about, you know, 20 touches and over 100 yards rushing.
Okay. I can definitely see that. Like I said, we've had our fair share of troubles tackling, and I think you're going to have to pound the rock with him. Otherwise, it might be tough to become one-dimensional on our team. Now going back to the outside here, do you think Odell Beckham's going to have over under 100 yards this game?
Yeah, because every time Odell comes out and says something to the media, which it used to not bother me, but it's starting to bother me now, he always makes sure to make big plays. And, you know, I think Eli, in this game with such a great defense, he's going to rely on Odell, which he usually does. So I definitely see Odell really having one of those really good games and hopefully two touchdowns. But, yeah, I definitely see him and Saquon both getting over 100 yards.
Okay, it'd be interesting to see how Odell does. I know during his press conference today, there was a little interview in the locker room. He was talking about playing as Prince Amukamara, his old teammate on the outside. He said he's pretty excited to see him. So do you think he's going to get a lot of matchups with him or Kyle Fuller? And how do you think he'll handle those? Do you think he can outplay him or it's going to be a good competition?
I definitely think he outmatches both those guys. You know, Prince is a good piece, but he's, you know, he's not a world beater. And Kyle Fuller has been pretty good for you guys, I think. He was the guy you guys drafted in the first round a few years ago.
Number 14.
Yeah, correct. So he's been decent. I'm not sure. Do you guys, pit man on man, or do you guys kind of, keep guys on one side of the field?
We do a pretty good job of kind of mixing man and zone. So, like, Kyle Fuller will take guy and man, and then we'll do zone the other half of the field, kind of Eddie Jackson roaming over the top. So we blend that pretty well. And that usually fools younger guys. I don't know how well Eli's going to fall for it, but it'll be interesting to see whether we bring the safety over for Odell or not, or leave him alone with Kyle Fuller. That could definitely be a game-breaking play waiting to happen.
Yeah, a lot of people have ran cover two against us, which has kind of been what stopped us. Because, you know, and people, you know, Odell said in an interview, you know, a while back, talking like, oh, well, teams just play cover two. Well, teams play cover two for a reason, because it works when you can get to the QB. That being said, I think the Giants are really – After what happened last week in the second half where Odell and Saquon didn't get the ball at all and should have got the win, I see them really focusing on getting those two guys as many touches as possible.
That'll definitely be a key, but getting them the touches against a dangerous defense might be a little risky for Eli Manning. Raising my next prediction, do you think he will have over or under two interceptions in this game? I think he'll have at least one. Measure numbers two.
Oh, man. I'm not going to say over. Let me say two. You know,
I'll take that.
So let me not get, you know, too crazy on, you know, everyone's getting good. Eli's been very conservative, though. Like, if you look at his stats aren't bad. That being said, to beat a Bears team, you're going to have to take chances. So I wouldn't mind two interceptions.
I mean, he's gotten a little under control this year. I mean, he's had some pretty bad years in interceptions in the past, multiple interception games all the time. But this year, I think he only has like seven. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's been a part of the game plan is, you know, do not be the old Eli where you just gunsling the ball, where it's, you know, a West Coast offense, you know, quick routes and then taking chances. He hasn't taken a lot of chances. You know, you look at seven interceptions and say good season, but it really hasn't been a good season because we just haven't taken a lot of chances. And his completion percentage is high. But if the Giants – let me say that. If the Giants really take this game seriously – you know, he's going to have to take some shots against the Bears, especially with the corners being, you know, your only, you know, quote unquote weakness.
I definitely agree with that. So now on the other side of the ball, do you think your defense is going to be able to force Chase Daniel into over, let's say, two interceptions or under that? Because he's been a game manager, keeps it tight, but if he does start throwing interceptions, that could be what throws the game out of favor for us. What do you think he's going to do in this game against your defense?
I would say under two interceptions. I just see him checking it. I mean, he seemed to check it down a lot against Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I think that us in Detroit would probably have a pretty similar defense. So, I definitely see him just not having interceptions, but just, you know, taking quick short passes. And like I said, for us to win, it's going to have to take sacks. So, it depends, you know, if Chase Daniels doesn't want to take chances, he's going to have to, you know, pick up some sacks for us. So,
I agree with that. I think he'll maybe throw one.
Yeah, so one sounds good to me.
I hear that. He's not going to be having to take as many chances as Eli. I think we can counter our defense a little more than you guys can. So we talked about kind of big picture, broad stuff for how our teams are going, talked about some keys of the game for certain players here and there. I want to hear what you think the final score is going to be and how do you think it's going to get there.
All right, final score. Well, let me say how it's going to get there. I think, like I said, I think Saquon and Odell both have it 100 yards. Three touchdowns between the two of those. And, you know, we'll throw a field goal in there. And I think the Bears, you know, they're going to, you know, with Chase Daniel, they're not going to take a lot of chances. That being said, I think because our defense isn't great, you guys will move the ball a little bit. So I'll go 24-20 with Chase Daniels checking the ball down a lot, getting sacked, and the Giants relying on their two big playmakers, Odell and Saquon.
So you think you guys win this one?
Oh, yeah. I have a vow that I've made since Eli won that first Super Bowl. But as long as Eli Manning is starting, I'll never pick the Giants to lose. I always have. There's only been one game where I picked the Giants to lose, and that was last year against the Raiders when Geno Smith started. So it's people get on me, you know, I make fun of me. In fact, if you listen to our midweek show, I talk about how good the Bears are, and that's why I'm picking the Giants. So I gotta pick the Giants every time as long as we got Eli.
I definitely feel that as a Bears fan who's been through thick and thin. And stuck through him all the way through. I definitely can applaud you for sticking with your guy right there. I also think it's going to be 24-20, but I think it's going to be the other way. I think it's going to be in the Bears' favor, where Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen each get a touchdown, Daniel throws for one, and then we get a field goal somewhere in there. I think you guys are going to struggle to move the ball. Maybe Odell's going to make a couple big plays, Saquon's going to make a couple big plays, and that'll get you about a touchdown each. But I think you're going to stall out in the red zone when our defense tightens up a bit, and you're going to set up a field goal. So 24-20, one for each side, pretty even decision here.
Yeah, it sounds good. You know, like I said, I got to go with my Giants, but, you know, I got to respect you too picking the Bears. And but no, on a serious note, like, you know, we do root for the Bears because, you know, they have, you know, Chicago has been such a great for our show. And you know, we like having Chicago guys on like Aaron Lemming and Lester Wilfong and other guys. So, no, we definitely like you guys over here at Superman Radio, but I always got to pick Giants, even if that makes people, even if that annoys people, I can't not pick the Giants.
Well, don't worry. If you have us on our show, on your show, I'm sure we'll pick in the same way for the Bears.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're gonna change some things up next year for our preview show. But yeah, we'll definitely have you guys on sometime.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you stopping by, Bobby. Thanks for some great insight on the Giants. Hope you guys lose this Sunday, and let's go Bears.
Big Blue. See you.